AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on deadline day in Scotland. Still no Celtic replacements confirmed for Kyogo or Alex Vaye after beating Motherwell yesterday with a Jota goal in there. Rangers announced Lyle Cameron, but on a pre-contract, and he will join in the summer. And it was a busy weekend which saw big wins for Hearts, Hibs, St Johnstone, and no change at the top. You're in the company tonight of Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday. Roger, a busy, busy time in Scottish football.
Well, it should be a busy, busy time, but I think the fact that yourself, Andy, and myself are not wearing the yellow ties tonight indicate it's maybe not the busiest transfer window Scotland's ever known. Rangers, will they add to Rafael Fernandez in the pre-contract for Lyle Cameron? Celtic, will they be able to get Lennon Miller done, or a striker, or a left back, or a winger, or Jeffrey Schloop? What else will be done around about the Premiership? And could managerless Motherwell possibly countenance losing Lennon Miller to Celtic and Andy Halliday to Real Madrid in the same night?
Steady. You hoping for a busy night?
For a couple of clubs, certainly not in Motherwell. I'm quite happy with the incomings, and hopefully there's certainly no more ingoings and Lennon Miller's tucked up in his bed by 8 o'clock at night.
Are you staying where you are? No exclusives to bring us?
I think so, unless Clyde won a starting a new 11-a-side team. That would be my only potential move. But yeah, very, very, very quiet. Really surprising how quiet it's been, actually. It'll be very interesting to hear from Celtic and Rangers fans tonight. There's no more incomings. Are they satisfied with what's been a pretty tame January transfer window?
0141-951-1025. Come on down, give us a call nice and early and talk about whatever you want, quite frankly. Look, if you want to look back at the weekend, it's as you were at the top. Did you take anything away from the games? What about yesterday? Of course, we'll get Andy's inside track, having been involved. Celtic fans, how did it feel to see Jota back and see Jota scoring? What did you make of the game at Fir Park? At Rangers fans, about as routine as they come, but with that allows John Souter to return and Nsiala to come back into the team and Bailey Rice to come on and get a lot of minutes and all that sort of stuff. So was it a beneficial day for you yesterday against Ross County? Big wins, as we mentioned, for the Edinburgh club. You would certainly put St Johnstone in there as well. And it is transfer deadline day. We operate this day the same every single year, because until 11 o'clock tonight, as far as we're concerned, anything's possible. So you can come on here, you can give us your wish list. I don't care how unrealistic it is, I don't care if you've got 10 players on that list. Until it's shut, it is very much up to you. What do you want to happen between now and 11 o'clock for your team? The beauty of that, doesn't matter which team you support, give us your wish list. What would you like to see happen, even if you think it's unrealistic? If it was up to you, what would you like to do tonight? And of course, we can comment on any specifics that have happened or are happening whilst we are on air. So loads to get stuck into. Give us a call, please, on 0141 951 1025 right now. Your result of the weekend, please, Roger Hanna.
I'm going to go for St Johnstone. They're now only 5 points away from Ross County and quite a tight pack above them. They have 3 wins in the trot in all competitions. They've now got Hamilton at home in the cup at the weekend. Simo Vallecari is beginning to build a little bit of momentum. This could be Perth's great escape.
Yeah, we'll talk about momentum. My result of the weekend's Hearts. On a real upturn in form, third in the form table since Neil Critchley's took charge. But nobody could have envisaged a 6-0 victory away to Dundee. Some fantastic goals in there, some fantastic performances as well, and a huge result for Hearts.
I liked your choices this weekend. Goal of the weekend goes to
Elton Cabangu. It was a rocket, man.
Oh, stop it.
6-0 at Dundee. He got two. What a signing he's been. This Jameson Analytics data, that could be, we're beginning to take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It's three awards to Hearts out of the four so far. I'm going to go for Blair Spittle. I think you quite rightly pointed out there was a lot of good candidates, and I feel that Blair Spittle's won this award on the Monday night quite often over the last sort of 18 months, and quite often it's that left foot as well, that so called weaker left foot. I thought it was a fantastic strike, really difficult technique, half volley right into the top corner.
You could even have thrown Shankland in there for
Yeah, great goal.
And the real winner, because I know you tend to focus on the top flight, which is okay. The real winner,
I know,
is
where you're going.
Go on.
Corey O'Donnell of Stenhouse Muir.
Absolutely.
What a goal. If you haven't seen it, get onto social media at the weekend. Stenny, by the way, top of League One. Gary Naismith has got them going, and if they're scoring goals like this, they could be in the Championship soon.
Back-to-back promotions, perhaps. Right, where does that leave us? Howler of the weekend, Andy Halliday.
Oh, I'm going to go over it. The St Mirren game against St Johnston, it led to an angry filled tweet from St Mirren demanding changes within VAR, but I think they had a case. I think Bonomo was clipped by, I think it was Dre Wright, and I think St Mirren should have been awarded a penalty.
Yeah, St Mirren fans, feel free to air your grievances on here if you agree with Andy Halliday. Roger, your howler.
Jack Walton, Dundee United goalkeeper. I know you two think it was a foul. You two are wrong. I'm correct. There's a goalkeeper. He's big. He can jump. He can use his arms and his hands. He just didn't jump. Marley Watkins timed it better. 1-0 Kelly. That's it.
No, it's just great to know, Andy, with a claret and amber specs on, that, that you are allowed to do that now, because we were under the impression that, that was not allowed. So it's just nice to know.
I think he'd have been able to use his arms if Marley Watkins didn't land on top of his left arm before he got there. But listen, that's for a later on the show, I'd imagine.
Oh, listen, it is, it's refreshing. It's good to know that that is now allowed. We will take that forward for the rest of the season. And I've now lost my train of thought, because I was trying to get bitter.
For myself.
That's it, your performance of the weekend.
I seen it first hand. It's got to be Dyson Almeida for me. I think he goes into a lot of games looking fresh anyway, but it looks as if that little suspension and an extra couple of days rest for Aston Villa, I thought he was excellent. Goal, two assists. But I thought it was a constant live wire throughout, and I think us as a team found it very difficult to deal with it.
You were given man of the match in the stadium, were you not?
I think somebody just wanted a picture at the end. Somebody to be honest,
battered the hospitality up there in the main stand.
Potentially, yeah.
You need to give it to a home player though. So. Yeah.
Well, listen, Robert Grieve and the Scottish Sun agreed he had used Motherwell star man this morning.
Yeah, I think the certainly the star men within the game were Celtic's players. I thought they were really good, specifically second half. I'm sure we'll get any more detail about it soon.
And your star man, well, Roger Hanna.
Andy's forever telling us about the bozos he's played with over the years. I don't think Mikulic was one of them. But if you're St Johnson's only centre half and you manage to pop up 2 weeks running in the opposition box to score goals, I think you're doing quite well. So Bozo Mikulic of St Johnson.
Right, that's you. The scene is set, and that means it's over to you. 01419511025. How do you rate your team's transfer business so far? What do you want done between now and 11 o'clock? Dream big, I don't care. You can throw some wild suggestions at us. What areas of the pitch do you want to address? What do you want done for your team between now and 11 o'clock? What did you make of the weekend? Celtic fans, how does it feel? Jota back in the green and white, scoring goals, trademark celebration, an emotional moment for him. So what did you make of it? What else did you take away? Just how important is Dyson Maeda then? Andy Halliday's given him the big praise from yesterday. What did you make of his contribution? And anything else that's on your mind? We can do specifics on transfers, of course, whether it's Celtic looking for a striker, a left back, something else. Rangers, is that it? Lyle Cameron for the summer? What do you make of that? I've looked at social media. Most of you seem to think that's a really good piece of business for the summer. So do step up to the plate and let us know. Let's cross live to the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Transfer Centre.
You mean next door?
No, I say it every time, and I say it with a straight face, because Andrew McLean has been working away tirelessly trying to find out what's happening. Andrew, tell me the answers. Something.
Yeah, can you hear all that hustle and bustle around me? No, but that's absolutely, because there's not a lot happening, to be perfectly honest. It's been a pretty quiet day so far in Scottish football in terms of transfers, but I think there will be a bit of activity before tonight's deadline. We'll have a look at what's happened so far and what could happen before 11 o'clock tonight. We'll start with Rangers, because out of Glasgow's big two, they're the one that have confirmed something so far. You mentioned it, Dundee midfielder Lyle Cameron signing that pre-contract, so it doesn't affect the rest of this season. He'll stay at Dens Park until the summer, then complete that switch to Ibrox, a bit like what Conor Barron did last season from Aberdeen. That's sort of part of this new look transfer model they've got, where they look for some young Scottish talent, identify that. Lyle Cameron is the next one they've found, so he'll be joining in the summer. As for other Rangers news, pretty quiet. Philippe Clement quite keen to deflect most of the questions towards Patrick Stewart and say, you know, he's the one to answer those types of questions at the moment, now that he's in that new role at Rangers. What Philippe Clement did say, though, is that any outgoings will need to be replaced by the same quality or better. However, it does look as if there will be one outgoing. I'm told youngster Zach Lovelace is set to leave before tonight's deadline. It was Millwall that Rangers initially brought him in from at the age of 16. It looks as if he's heading back to London to join his old club again. As for Celtic, probably expected to be a bit busier potentially, with a couple of obvious areas, left back and of course looking for Kyogo's replacement up front. News coming to us in the last hour or so that the left back issue could be close to getting resolved. Crystal Palace man Jeffrey Schlupp, who has been linked with Celtic previously, he looks like he's closing in on a loan move until the end of the season. He's a versatile player, was previously at Leicester before Crystal Palace, not when Brendan Rodgers was there, but was a teammate of Kasper Schmeichel, and they won the Premier League title together a few years ago now, wasn't it? A bit quieter on the striking options after they were priced out of that move for Matthias Kvistgaarden, and with Kelechi Iheanacho joining Middlesbrough, Brendan Rodgers saying last night any striker is likely to be a loan deal. They had been linked with Lennon Miller, of course, earlier on today. I'm told that's looking unlikely before 11 o'clock tonight. Just to look elsewhere in the Premiership so far today, only one other confirmed deal across the whole 12 clubs. Aberdeen have signed former Netherlands youth international Mats Nuster after his contract at Ferencvaros expired. They're in need of a striker as well, aren't they? That could be Odé Daba from Charleroi in Belgium. Previously scored some goals in the Portuguese top flight at Arouca, so does have a bit of pedigree. Elsewhere, Malachi Boateng could leave Hearts for Plymouth as they finalise a deal to bring in Harry Milne from Partick Thistle. And Ellie Ewan at Hibs, one to watch as well. Subject to bids from down south, that one could progress before the deadline.
Well, we'll keep in touch with Andrew throughout the evening, see what's breaking, see what's not. Let's bring in John, who's a Celtic fan. John, are you worried about what the night brings? Are you comfortable with Celtic's position? How do you feel about it?
I'm not comfortable. It's the same old story with Celtic. The way the last minute, every time there's a transfer window, but it's about a Celtic board's transfer window. They should have moved it to April and called it the April Fool's transfer window, because they're filling nobody. They let five players leave here on about £60,000 a week. They chased the boy. They've been chasing that boy for Bromby for 18 months. They wanted 10 million. We come in with 8 million. Push another 2 million after £80 million in the bank. Nothing when it comes to it. As I say, if anything happens to Ayer or Taylor, right, we're getting this boy, maybe getting this boy for the left back. Anything happens to Big Ayer, we're up the creek without a paddle, mate. But we're still in the Scottish Cup. We could still be, maybe, I don't know how we're going against Bayern Munich.
Do you mean Ida?
Ida, I mean. We're halfway through the league as well. As I say, we're getting cut short. Celtic fans are getting cut short at this board. So there. They're leaving at the last minute all the time.
I mean, over the piece, Roger, the Celtic spent a good bit of money in the previous window. But that's by the by for now. John's focused on January and thinks there are glaring areas. Do you think that's fair?
I was asked this yesterday in the show, Gordon. If you look individually at the Celtic deals, I don't think there's a bad deal there. Getting Kieran Tierney back in a pre-contract's a good thing. Getting Jota back for a fraction of the money is a good thing. They got money for Burnaby, good money. They got £10 million for a 30-year-old striker who he's probably not going to repeat what he's done for the last 3.5 years, so you've more than doubled your money. They've got Lewis Palmer out the door. So if you take them all in isolation, I think they're all good deals. They brought a lot of money into the football club. And yet, as we sit here tonight, Celtic somehow look weaker than they did going into the window. Now, they're 10 points clear. They've won the League Cup. They have achieved their stated aim in Europe of getting through the group stage for the first time in 12 years. They could yet defend the Scottish Cup with the squad they've got. But I think John's points probably sum up where a lot of Celtic fans are standing tonight, that they think the team is weaker than it was on the 1st of January.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they have the same depth in certain areas of the pitch. I think Brendan Rodgers has always been pretty strenuous about how he wants three strikers, preferably the third being a young academy product. I think when we all seen that Kyogo was leaving, fully expected over the next few days that there was going to be a a transfer spiral in terms of Celtic being linked with strikers. Yes, they've been linked with the boy from Bromby. Doesn't seem as if that's going to get done. And again, they're clearly short in that left back area. Is Jeffrey Schlupp on a what's potentially going to be a 6 month loan? Is that filling Celtic with a lot of promise? Not too sure.
I think the difference with that one is at least you know that is about treading water until Kieran Tierney comes.
Yeah, and you've got that cover there. But my question would be to John and other Celtic fans, and I'm sure they'll agree, is I don't think Celtic would be this timid in January if the league title was a lot closer. Yeah, you know, can you look at it that way? I don't think so. Yes, they've got a tough fixture against Bayern Munich, but you want to go into that in the best frame of mind possible. And I agree with Roger. I think they're coming out of this January transfer window weaker as a squad.
So you're not confident that those issues get addressed tonight, John?
We may have a couple of signings, but why wait to the last hours, couple of hours? Is it, I don't know why they keep doing it. They do it all the time. I've been doing it since I've been 10. That's 50 odd years. They just keep doing it the last couple of hours. It's, you tape it, you either sit up, you've got to go to work in the morning. You sit up at 11 o'clock, it used to be 12 o'clock, and you've up in the morning put your record on. It was nothing, never signed anybody. I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but as I say, they chased the boy. They've been chasing that boy for Bromby for 18 months. 18 months, it's not 18 days, it's 18 months, and they're not going to pay £10 million for guys like that.
John, I've been waiting to deliver this. I beg your pardon, they never promised you a fist garden.
No, honestly, that is two music puns in the first part of the show. That's you, you've reached your quota.
I was delighted when John mentioned him. I was wanting to get that out.
It's outrageous, absolutely.
I came skipping into this building at half four saying I'm really looking forward to a deadline day radio station. And he's putting me right off it already.
Unbelievable. We hope it is busy, we hope it picks up. John, a Celtic fan, is not happy with the deadline day so far. Celtic fans, do you agree? Are you as annoyed about it? Or maybe you're feeling far more relaxed and say the club isn't a strong place. I don't know. You tell us. Give us a call right now. Lyle Cameron, pre-contract for the summer. Rangers fans, what do you make of that? Is that enough business for now, or do you want more? And we've not looked back on the weekend's action either. So give us a call, please, and we will speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Tackle the headlines. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Transfer gurus Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here on 0141-951-1025. What do you want your team to do between now and 11 o'clock? The simplest of questions with a wide range of answers, hopefully. So come on down. We've already had one Celtic fan on very dissatisfied at the way the picture looks heading into the final 4.5 hours or so. But how do you feel? There's been a pre-contract announced for Lyle Cameron to go to Rangers, but not until the summer. So what do you make of that, Rangers fans? And anyone else, all teams involved, get in touch. Let us know what you want to happen between now and the transfer deadline. Right now, give us a call. And a busy weekend to look back on as well. Usually Monday we spend poring over all the talking points from the weekend, so we can still try and do that as well. Let's spin as many plates as possible, but you need to give us a call. 0141 951 1025. That's what Craig in Knightswood has done. Craig, you're a Rangers fan, so what do you make of it so far? What do you want to happen? What do you think can happen?
Well, I think Rangers have obviously got a lot of injuries to replace more than anything, and I don't think we've got the finances to really properly build on the squad at this transfer window. It's always easier in the summer. The one that's really worrying me is actually Lennon Miller, going to Celtic, because I think he is a class player.
Well, in fairness, it doesn't look like it is happening just now, so if that is worrying you, you can put it to bed for a bit. Of course, things can change, but that's the way the picture looks at the moment. See, when you say that, Craig, you don't feel like Rangers, you know, have got the finances. Is there, what's the right word? Is there an acceptance almost from Rangers fans then that you can are where you are, you probably can't catch up in the league, and therefore you've you've accepted it? Because I feel like normally on transfer deadline day, if you don't make signings, and Rangers have only brought one in during the window, usually we'd have Rangers fans pretty annoyed about that. But is that because you like accepted this a while ago?
Yeah, well, it's just, I mean, the league's pretty much gone, I would say. I'm not saying it's totally gone, but 99% out of the window. Our priority is the Scottish Cup and Europa League, maybe, which Rangers seem to perform well and better. But I just don't think there's any out there that I would say is like stand out that you'd say, right, get him in at the moment.
What do you make of it, Andy? Because you said earlier you thought that if the league was tight, Celtic would definitely go and get a replacement striker for Kyogo, and they would definitely, well, they might get a left back anyway. Mm-hmm. And like the same logic, albeit a very different set of circumstances, apply to Rangers then?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even without that, I thought Rangers have been a lot more aggressive than they have been. I think for the first few months of the season, I think universally everybody that agree that Rangers need, you know, quality in the starting 11 and depth in certain areas of the pitch. I thought going into January, I thought it was a real opportunity to address a couple of key areas, and it looks as if they're going to come out the January transfer window with one loan signing from the boy Fernandez for Lille. I find that really, really hard to believe. And you know, you can talk about obviously a lack of finances. I think they just pocketed, was it €5 million for the Europa League, getting to the last 16 and getting in the top 8. I thought they would use some of that fee. I do think it's a good bit of business, acquiring Lyle Cameron on a pre-contract. But again, you know, looking at Celtic and questioning are they coming out the January transfer window stronger? The answer's no, and I think the answer's no when it comes to Rangers as well.
At the same time, Roger, Patrick Stewart spoke weeks ago and said they would bring one, maybe two in. There is one in Rafael Fernandez. If there's to be a second tonight, then maybe not. But there's the pre-contract for Lyle Cameron, so I'm not saying that is good. People can think what they want, but are we just kind of where we thought we would be with Rangers? Or
I think we are. Nobody will say it, but Rangers have given up in the title. You know, Greg says in the 99% it's gone. I think the Rangers board think it's 100% mm-hmm. gone.
How do you think Philippe Clement feels? I think he said on Friday, I remember interviewing him, and he said something along the lines of, it's necessary to make the next step in certain positions. We'll see how far we get because it's the board that decides.
Yeah, and it is all down to money. Whether people like it or not, it's down to money. Philip Clement hinted as much again when he spoke about the importance of getting Robbie Matondo and Kieran Dowell out because they're on expensive contracts from a previous time, if you like. So they had to come out. Anyone who comes in will be earning less money. I think, you know, I don't know the details of Lyle Cameron's pre-contract, but I'm pretty convinced he'll be in less money than Robbie Matondo and Kieran Dowell.
I think it's a certainty.
So this is where the future now lies for Rangers. I think it's clear there wasn't the money. You know, Craig, one of your first comments here, Craig, was, you know, worried about Lennon Miller going to Celtic. Motherwell want £4 or £4.5 million for Lennon Miller. If Rangers have an interest, and Rangers probably should have an interest in a young talent like Lennon Miller, unfortunately for Rangers, they don't have the finance to get involved at a level like that. And that's just the reality of where they stand now. Whether it'll be different in the summer, you know, if there is a run in Europe, Andy's already said what they've banked, if there's a run in Europe, if they can win the Scottish Cup, there might be more money coming in and it might strengthen Philippe Clement's hand in the summer. But for now, I think the reality is Rangers can't afford to do anything more.
Craig, what do you make of the pre-contract for Lyle Cameron then?
I'm quite happy with that one. He is a really good young player and I think he will add to the squad. But what I think Rangers need to do and what Clement's actually starting to do is, see, instead of buying in talent, use the young talent we've got and start developing it. But Bailey Rice, players like Zach Lovelace, who might be leaving because he's not getting enough time, Finlay Curtis, guys like that, you need to use them rather than bringing in guys for a few million quid or a loan here and a loan there. I mean, I would rather keep Dessers because I think he's started to show he's got and I've always thought Dessers was a good striker, but he just never took the big chances. But he's still got something to contribute. Whereas you've got these young boys who are all talented, but how can they get into the first team if you keep bringing in these guys on loans? And do you know what I mean?
I suppose time will tell on that. Bailey Rice did come on. It was half-time yesterday,
half-time,
wasn't it?
Half-time, yeah.
We're seeing a bit more of them, mm-hmm. and time will tell between now and the end of the season. You've always sort of been banging the Lyle Cameron drum, so to speak, mm-hmm. and if you think that's a wise piece of business?
I think it's a smart piece of business. I think it's a market that Rangers and Celtic have had a lot of joy from throughout the years. Not so much recently. And I think Niels Coppen obviously stressed the fact a couple of months ago that they're always going to try and look to bring in young Scottish talent each window, and I think Lyle Cameron fits that bill. I thought he had a great season last year along with Luke McKeown. Luke McKeown deservedly got his move to Celtic, and I think he's shown how much he can contribute in the Celtic team, and I think Lyle Cameron can be the same for Rangers.
Roger, sometimes when this happens, like at this stage, and particularly when it's between two clubs like, you know, Rangers and Dundee, with one being bigger than the other, there's like an assumption that you can just do something tonight, just throw some money in and make it happen. But that really seems to not be on the table. Is that just a real reluctance on Dundee's part, or I suppose is there a financial?
I think the reluctance will be on Rangers' part to pay money for a guy they know they're getting for nothing in May.
Would you still pay the old tribunal? Yeah, that sort of stuff, I wonder how different the fee would be.
I think the fee will be lesser than the fee was for Conor Barron. I think it's to do with the fact that Dundee's academy is a lower rating than Aberdeen's academy. UEFA is part of the calculation. So if they were paying, what did they have to pay?
600
for Barron. I think you'd be looking at a fee smaller than that. So if Dundee know they're guaranteed that in the summer, why would they let them go? Or why would Rangers want to pay more than
so
that?
So for both parties now, then, really?
And I think the backdrop to all this is, Gordon, there's 10 points between Celtic and Rangers. The league title is over. Celtic know it, so they don't have to push the boat out and spend a lot of money tonight. Rangers know it, so they're not going to push the boat out and spend a lot of money tonight either. And it's just indicative of where the Premiership table is tonight. If it was 1 point between the two teams, they'd be finding the money.
On you go, Andy.
Sorry, I talked about if the league title in terms of points was a lot closer, would Celtic and Rangers be more aggressive in the transfer window? I wonder as well for Rangers, the fact that they can only make three changes to this Europa League squad, and I think there's three glaring changes they can already make within the squad just now. So I wonder if that also plays a point in, you know, any new incomes that come in January. Can they really fit them into the Europa League squad when you need to try and add Nsiala in there, Hadji in there, and Danilo, who's also missing?
I'm just going to do the if here, Craig. Hypothetically, you're the one in charge. If there was to be, say, one more signing Rangers could make tonight, what area of the pitch would you like to see addressed, hypothetically?
Probably just due to injuries, the centre-half position. But that's a short-term thing, really, because then Balogun might be back soon, and then you're just paying wages for more players in the same position, and then that kind of inflates that. Like, you've got Nsiala there, you've got Fernandez, we've just brought in, got Suter, we've got Proper, got Balogun, but they're not always all fit, that's the problem. So I don't think there's anywhere that Rangers can strengthen that is
like realistically.
They need it in three positions.
Although I suppose, though, the problem with that, Roger, when you do it like the way Craig does, they might all be fit, those centre-backs, because John Suter came back yesterday, so Proper's there and Siala's there.
We were covering the game there yesterday, Gordon. They started with two centre-backs and finished with two other centre-backs, so they're maybe not that badly off. Balogun's still to come back. Dujon Sterling is still to come back as well. I'm not sure we'll see Carson Weirall again in a Rangers jersey, unfortunately for the lad. But yeah, I mean, this is what it is. And I don't think... You touched upon Bailey Rice. You know, we saw the kids in the bench, and Seal was in the bench, Curtis was in the bench again. I don't think Rangers are any weaker for them being in the bench rather than Dowland Matondo.
Like I said, it's more of a hypothetical, Andy. I'm not saying there will be one more or anything like that. Just Craig would go a centre back. If Rangers could have one more body, what area of the pitch would it be?
For me, it's a winger, undoubtedly. I think, you know, Hadji's done there and done really well. I still think his strength is more central in the middle of the pitch. I think Bajrami's the same, who's been out on the left at times. But I just think Rangers are a churn the injury away from having a real issue in that right hand side. I think Ross McCausland has had plenty of opportunities this year. And again, I think he's done better in games where he's had to come off the bench. But I just, you know, you do worry for Rangers that they are an injury away in that area of the pitch.
What about Oscar Cortez, Andy?
Again, I don't think he's done enough. And the fact of the matter is, they're obligated to pay £4.5 million for him in the summer.
Where is Oscar Cortez, Andy?
Yeah, it's a good question. But listen, what I will say, the positive you can take away is the likes of, you know, young Finlay Curtis getting an opportunity. He's done extremely well in the B team for a long period of time. I've been championing for a long period of time as well for these boys to get an opportunity. And it was great to see Bailey Rice getting 45 minutes again yesterday, although the cynic in me wouldn't have mind seeing him for the start either in a game like that.
Thank you to Craig. Let's squeeze in Gareth before we pause for breath. Gareth, what's your point tonight?
Hi, how are you doing? You okay?
Good, you?
Yeah, good, thanks. I've just been reading on social media there that Zach Loveface is re-signed for Millwall.
Yeah.
And it got it that he never got a chance, really. But I've just read he wanted to go, so that's unfortunate. But I'll just throw this point in here that I think Dessers will be sold tonight, $4.5 million, and Lauren Shankland will sign for Rangers.
Ooh. Did you share Gareth's confidence?
Well, that's the kind of rumours I was expecting coming in the day, and it's been pretty quiet so far. So listen, it'll be very interesting if you're right, Gareth. Listen, we've talked a lot about the incomings that Rangers have had. I was expecting a lot more outgoings as well. I think it's imperative for Rangers that the likes of Matondo and Dowell get shifted off the wage bill when they're not contributing a whole lot to the starting 11. But you know, I think coming into January, you heard the links and the rumours about Tom Lawrence potentially leaving when he's out of contact in the summer. Ridvan Yilmaz with a potential move back to Turkey. I think they'd have been offers and approaches that I think Rangers would have been willing to listen to, and it doesn't seem as if they've came to fruition.
Yeah, and listen, they've got a lot of younger players out. Adam Devine's away, Cole McKinnon's away, players like that have gone, as well as Dowell, as well as Matondo. I agree. I think Tom Lawrence will be a big earner. I think he'll go in the summer. I think they would have been keen to get him out the door now. There was talk of a return to Derby. There was talk of Wrexham as well, looking at him. It'll look as if he's going to stay. I have to disagree with you, Gareth. I think Dessers will stay tonight. He has sort of re-emerged as the first pick for that number 9 role. He's got 6 goals in 6 games. Gordon Dalziel will tell you he's going to be the top scorer in the country this season. I think he'll stay.
I mean, Gareth, see, there's, you know, I think Rangers fans are disappointed, Zach Lovelace, but it just, you know, if he wants to go, wants to be back down in London, is it just one of those things the club needs to try and facilitate?
Yeah, they just have to, like I say, if a player wants to go, that's fair enough, that's fine, but we should be really trying to back these players. They've come through the academy or whatever, and if that's the case, then just try and work around them. But like I say, if you want to go back down to London, that's totally fine.
Yeah, that is going to happen, Roger. That is one.
Listen, it happens all the time. It might happen to Celtic tonight if Daniel Cummings signs a pre-contract at West Ham. Sometimes the lads themselves get impatient. Look at the lad Daniel Kelly, who was in the brink of the Celtic team last season.
Rocco Vatta
went to Watford. Kelly went to Millwall. You've seen it happen time and again, and now Rangers are suffering with Lovelace wishing to go back to Millwall.
Well, on that, let's cross back to Andrew McLean. He can confirm what's happening at Rangers. There's been a bit of a change. Andrew, we can now update the picture a bit more. Firstly, Zach Lovelace is going, yes?
Yes, he's heading down to Millwall. His contract was running out at the end of this season. Of course, he was in that sort of group of youngsters that had been getting a chance recently, along with Bailey Rice, Finlay Curtis, Paul Nceo, but his contract running out at the end of the season. Rangers did want to keep him. They offered him a contract extension, but he's keen on a return to London and to go back to Millwall, which was the club that he initially joined Rangers from in 2019. So he will be leaving the club. I am told, though, to expect no more business from Rangers tonight. So no more outgoings and no more incomings at all. Rangers, of course, end the window then with Rafael Fernandez coming in on that loan deal. They'll have the option to buy him in the summer, and then announcing today the pre-contract for Lyle Cameron. He'll join up in the summer. Rangers had been looking to maybe bring in one more today. Philippe Clement alluded to that last night. It's understood that it was in those wide areas that you guys talked about that Rangers maybe did look a bit more bare. They'd been pursuing a deal for someone, but Rangers really keen to try and make sure that any deals they do are for the long-term success of the club rather than short-term fixes. Doesn't look as if they've really managed that so far. So no more incomings, no more outgoings. Business done for Rangers on transfer deadline day.
Is that good news, bad news? How would you put it, Rangers fans? Let us know. You're satisfied? Did you expect that? Is this where you thought you would be? Or is that a blow to you tonight? Were you hoping for something between now and 11 o'clock? You just got the road, Andy. You thought you were here for a fast.
Yeah, but listen, I do agree with the reasoning. It should be for the long term. It shouldn't be for the short term. I think Rangers are currently falling in love with a lone player that's not theirs after the summer in Vaclav Chernyi, and I don't see any reason why they should do the same in January.
Right, plenty more where that came from, and we'll look back on the weekend's games, so keep the calls coming. But let me tell you about this. 325k
bonus payday.
300 £325,000. I know you like the sound of it, because how could you not? Text yes to 61025. Text or 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on the website for 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rayo Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm Friday. There is no point in leaving it to the last minute and risking you missing the deadline. So text yes to 61025 and someone will win the lot. £325,000.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. It's transfer deadline day. It is quiet-ish, I think we would say at the moment, but there's still time. Although Rangers have pretty much signalled that it will be no more business this evening. So I wonder how you feel about that, Rangers fans. Can you take that in the chin? Are you desperately disappointed? Are you somewhere in between? That's what we're here for. Kieran's a Celtic fan. Kieran, how does it feel as a Celtic fan with a few hours to go?
Hi guys, how's doing?
Thank you.
I just want to say, a bit disappointing to be honest. You know, things were looking good kind of midway through the transfer window, with obviously Jota coming in, then the news of possibly getting Tierney in. But it's just fell off a cliff since. I don't know if it's to do with, I think Roger and Andy kind of touched on it earlier, with us perhaps reach some of our stated goals, I think is the way Roger put it, with regards to Europe and obviously doing well in the league. But for me, I think that's the time to go kind of all out and maybe try and be a bit more ambitious. You know, we've got to knockout stages in Europe. It's a great opportunity. I'm not going to delude myself into thinking we could beat Bayern Munich, but it's not impossible. You know, they've just conceded 3 goals off a kind of weak opposition in the Bundesliga. So I don't see why the board should kind of show a lack of ambition and also a lack of strategy. You know, supposedly Kyogo's handed his transfer in, transfer request in a few months ago. And now we're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel for a last-minute deal for a striker. It just shows, you know, both a lack of ambition and a lack of strategy to me.
Is that fair, Roger?
Listen, I know where you're coming from, Kieran. I think it's an interesting position they're in at the minute. If someone had said to you at the start of the window, Kieran Tierney's coming back in the summer, then you'd have been pleased with that. If someone had said to you, you know, Bernabe's going to be out and Tierney's eventually coming back, Palma's going to be out and Jota's going to be back, Kyogo's going to go, so you're going to have the guy that cost £9.5 million, the costliest guy currently in Scottish football, to lead the line.
But he was already there though, to be fair, so you can see where Kieran's coming
from. Absolutely. But Celtic are I genuinely believe, Gordon, if Celtic were a point ahead of Rangers or a point behind Rangers, money would be getting spent tonight.
But that's the bit Kieran grumbles with. He feels that that's a lack of ambition, because should you always try and...
But should you just go for the guy who's available and, you know, at the end of January? Or nobody's more ambitious than Brendan Rodgers.
Again, but Kieran's point is you shouldn't be looking for just who's available at the end of January, because you knew for months Kyogo was leaving, according to Brendan Rodgers.
I think they've clearly been looking. They've clearly been looking at Matthias Kvistgaarden. They've clearly been looking at Kelechi Iheanacho. They've clearly been looking at this one and that one. Just because you look doesn't mean you can get the deals done. And I'm very much, you know, Andy was talking about Rangers there, saying the deals you need to do should be done for the long term. I think the Celtic striker thing should be done for the long term. I don't think they're going to be rushed into anything that they don't want to do. And that's why I think if they get a deal done by 11 o'clock tonight, it will just be a loan deal to the summer till they can do what they want to do.
But that's your point, Kieran, isn't it? You don't see this as a rush, because Kyogo said he was wanting to leave months ago, apparently.
Yeah, I do get what Roger's saying. You know, obviously they maybe want the next Kyogo, if you want to put it that way, to be a long term deal. But yeah, again, if Kyogo has kind of been saying for the last few months that you know, Celtic's not the place for him anymore, then why weren't those conversations already being had? And again, I don't know how much this is speculation, but apparently our valuation for the Kvistgaarden deal isn't that far off, so why not just kind of meet Brondby's expectations if it's not too unrealistic, if we're going to end up, you know, in a potential bidding war in the summer if he continues to do well with Brondby. You know, we might never get the deal across the line at this stage now.
Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers, because he spoke only yesterday, so I can't imagine his thoughts have changed too much. He says he's not back at Celtic to fall out with anyone over transfers, but the board are aware of his thoughts on improving the squad.
The club knows my feelings, they know why I came back. I'm here to enjoy my time at Celtic, not to fall out with myself and do all the things that sometimes I maybe didn't the first time, but the demand is still there to improve the squad. We have to make sure that there's constant improvement, and that's been clear. I don't need to follow anyone over it. Everyone knows what it is we want to do at the club, and that's us all, you know. So I'm hopeful that we can do that. Yeah, I don't expect it to be hectic, but I would hope that we could come out of this window stronger, and that's always been the plan.
What do you make of those comments then, Andy? Because it's, you know, if Brendan Rodgers could have sat there yesterday and said, "Look, I'm really relaxed about it, and if we stay where we are or whatever, I'll be fine." But you know, he has time and time again reiterated his demand for the squad to move on.
Yeah, and again, I'm surprised. And the thing that surprised me the most is I understand that January notoriously is a much more difficult window to deal with. But I look at a couple of examples that, you know, strong reports come from Celtic as Kvistgaarden, obviously Brombie striker, seems as if they were extremely close in the evaluation for the player. So I'm surprised that that's not got over the line. And then I look at the young Danish winger. Don't ask me to pronounce his name.
Rodgers will tell you.
He was at Sarpsborg. And you know, this notion of January is a more difficult window to deal with because teams are halfway through. This season's finished. It's not starting yet. So it still gives Sarpsborg an opportunity to get in a replacement for him. So if there are two players that Celtic were in for it, I'm really surprised that they've not managed to get them over the line.
It's not all doom and gloom, Kieran, I'm sure. I don't know if you had a wee tear in your eye seeing Jota returning and scoring yesterday. You must be happy.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there was, well, apart from maybe Aidan McGeady, a dry eye in the house. But it's great to get him back. You know, I think if that wasn't the case, then obviously you'd have a lot more callers on and potentially sharks at Celtic Park. But, you know, him being back does make a big difference, but I still think we need to do a bit more.
Do you know, Andy, because of that's what football's like, that when you see Jota coming on, he's going to score against your Motherwell team yesterday?
Yeah, sometimes it just feels as if it's written in the stars. Listen, it was obviously a fantastic signing for Celtic. Big return for him to come back to a place he obviously feels extremely comfortable. And he's come on and made an impact in the game, and no doubt that he's probably going to make an even bigger impact for Celtic over the coming weeks.
We can get stuck into the details later on if people fancy it. What was it like from your perspective?
I thought the first half we'd done a half decent job at containing Celtic as much as we possibly could. I think Ellery makes a really good save for Maeda just after Celtic make it 2-1. I believe it might have been one each at the time, but I think Celtic certainly upped the tempo and upped their quality in the second half. I thought in the second half, to be honest, I thought Celtic were really close to their best, and I think we probably fell short of our best as well. I don't think we had enough going forward to test Kasper Schmeichel. But credit's due. I thought Celtic were really good in the second half.
What in particular?
Their pace, their athleticism, the way they rotate in and out of possession, the speed that they moved the ball, which I thought was a lot quicker than they did in the first half, sort of shifted us within our shape at times. And I think a lot of people would tell you, when you go for periods of the game without touching the ball, it becomes really physically demanding. And then, you know, the higher quality teams in Rangers and Celtic can really start to punish you in the second half. And when you can bring on the amount of quality that they've paid and the fees that they've paid for guys to come off the bench and Arnie Engels and Jota and the likes, then they're going to punish you, and that's what they've done.
Never mind all this nonsense. Your area of expertise here, who's got better hair, Jota or Luke Armstrong?
Is that a serious question?
Do you know what? I don't think I'd swap mine for any of them, believe it or not. I'll edge it to Jota, I'd say.
Edge?
Aye, I think I'll get it to okay. Jota.
Thank you to Kieran. It's time for us to play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Do you know what I love about you lot? It's a tough school on a Monday night and everybody knows it. However, you still step up to the plate and give it a good go. So let's see if we can topple one of these two. Roger Hanna is now beatable because of he's minus two. We'll get there with Andy Halliday. Somebody can beat him, I'm sure of it. We just need to find him. Tonight could be the night. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here, and it is transfer deadline day. So give us your thoughts on what your team has done, what you hope your team will do, how you rate the window overall. And it is Monday, in case you've lost track already somehow. So any thoughts from the weekend, please get them in. 0141 951 1025. We play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time, and easily the most random Beat the Pundit intro of all time coming up. But it genuinely is worth it. Bear with me. Everyone who comes on Beat the Pundit this week wins a full box, right? Of
no way of
Scotty Brand's beetroot crisps.
I thought it was a bag.
Which is a full box, right? Which you can now get from supermarkets, Morrison's, Co-op, etc. Thai sweet chili, cheese and onion. And I know, see if you've not educated yourself. I know it might sound a bit out there.
Are you opening a bag?
We're trying to win Andy Halliday over. He's a Kunsel crisp eater. He's not going for your beetroot crisp. These are excellent, by the way.
I do like my Thai sweet chili though.
I came in here on Thursday. Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson were elbow deep in the bags of crisps, and they kind of dust all over his face and down his shirt. So all you need to do is come on. You can still get the bragging rights. You can still win the sign ball. But as soon as you get through, you get the full box of crisps. Don't say we're not good
to
you.
Can we see what? Just a packet?
Sure. Wait. Knock yourself out.
Aye. They'll be good.
They are good.
Let me tell you, they will be good. Well, have you told Andy Halliday? You're talking about Daz's eating habits. What about the overnight oats?
Oh, I don't, honestly. He's doing my head in. See this fitness kick and amateur philosopher that he thinks he's becoming, the cosmetic work he's getting done.
How big was the basin of overnight oats?
Huge. Absolutely. It was about 1,000 calories worth of oats, completely defeating the purpose.
I didn't think I'd see him being the face of a PT page on Instagram, that's for sure.
How shameful was that? Honestly. And then do you see there's another picture of him flexing his bicep.
Oh, is that where he's got his blue lines?
Yeah, exactly. Do you hear about this? He told Andy last week he was in really good shape because he started getting blue lines on his arm.
Also known as veins.
Yeah.
To pretty much everybody else.
This will be the start of a phenomenon known as an old age crisis.
But listen, we need to be careful with what we say, because as part of this new year, new him, he listens now. He never used to.
No, he does.
Headphones in, he's been spotted walking in the local area at night. So
I bet he has.
Walking, I said. W-A-L-K-I-N-G.
I heard what you said.
Aidan's on for Beat the Pundit. How's it going, Aidan?
Yeah, I'm good, cheers.
Have you ever played Beat the Pundit before?
Not first time.
Right, good stuff. And I love it. I love the confidence, because you know Monday is tough. Did I tell you, Roger, you're getting support in the strangest of places for Beat the Pundit? Did I tell you this last week?
Yeah.
Twice in a row now I've been at Celtic training and Stevie Woods, the goalie coach, has shouted over something about you and being on minus two twice in a row.
Ridiculous.
Apparently Kasper Schmeichel's furious about the whole thing.
I know, but thinks it's a real injustice. You tell me the Celtic manager listens.
Listen, so you're very popular, what can I say? Heads it will be Andy Halliday, and tails it will be Roger Hanna. Minus two. And it's the minus two up again.
Oh, good luck, Aidan.
What are we saying? Is he one more defeat away from
being
pulled back in? I think he's minus one already, personally.
I don't know.
No, he's a mate of mine, ain't you, Roger?
Yes.
Right, Aidan, I'll give him something else to listen to. I usually say it's Greatest Hits Radio, but we found out on Friday it was the GBX, so we'll see. He's got something else in his ear anyway. You've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep, all good.
Right, your 30 seconds, Aidan, is on the clock and your time starts now. Georgios Samaras joined Celtic on a January loan from which side?
Panafi Icon.
Which team are currently top of League 2?
Peterhead.
How many under 21 caps has Lyle Cameron got, 8 or 12?
12.
Which team are known as the Spiders?
Spartans.
Two guy joined Rangers in the January window of 2000 from which club?
pass.
Callum Morrison's left Falkirk to join which Northern Irish team?
Winfield.
How many times have Celtic beaten Bayern Munich in the Champions League?
Twice.
Okay, let's bring him back. Roger Hanna, can you hear us?
Oh,
that was rapid.
You know, can you chat among yourselves, please? Because Yazoo were in Greatest Hits Radio.
Who, sorry?
That.
Only Yazoo. You.
Only you.
Oh, right, okay. What do you mean it was rapid?
I don't know. I thought it was quick. Sometimes.
I thought it was quick as well.
Really quick. I thought that was quick.
1 minute, you complain that we take too long. Next, it's too fast. It's the same 30 seconds.
Okay. I think it just genuinely depends on whether they're really enjoying the song or not.
Oh, great. Song.
Unbelievable. Right. You've got a new teammate. I'm going to do breaking transfer news.
And Motherwell,
I'm going to bring you the news.
All right. Okay.
After I'll we give Roger Hanna.
Hold on a minute. You can't have a 34th first team player now.
But you can when they're all injured, though.
Yeah, true.
Right, you ready, Roger?
Go.
Same set of questions. Your time starts now. Georgios Samaras joined Celtic on a January loan from which side?
Man City.
Which team is currently top of League Two?
East Fife.
How many under 21 caps has Lyle Cameron got? Is it 8 or 12?
12.
Which team are known as the Spiders?
Queen's Park.
Tugai joined Rangers in the January window of 2000 from which club?
Galatasaray.
Callum Morrison has left Falkirk to join which Northern Irish side?
Linfield.
How many times have Celtic beaten Bayern Munich in the Champions League?
None.
Ross McCormack left Motherwell to join which club in 2008?
Leeds United.
Oh, it's for the 10. You've messed it up.
We'll be listening as well, Ross. Bella. You can
Cardiff.
You can text them.
I wouldn't have got that.
There we go. Aidan, how do you think it went?
Not too good. I think I meant to say Queen's Park, not Spartan.
Seeing you need very little room for error when you're up against Roger Hanna. He does start on minus two though, so he got Man City for Samaras and he got East Fife, but you're still just level at this point because that's his handicap wiped out. You knew, Aidan, that they're were 12 under 21 caps for new Rangers signing in the summer, Lyle Cameron. So we're level. You know you got this one wrong. So Roger goes one in front with the Spiders as Queen's Park. He then stretches his lead to two because Galatasaray is two guy. You hung on in there, Aidan. You knew that Callum Morrison had left Falkirk to join Linfield. Of a messy situation, that one in the end, wasn't it?
It was a very messy situation. Producer John will be annoyed at this.
He's in tears over it. He's been in tears all weekend after Falkirk's defeat as well.
Aye, it's not been a great 2 or 3 weeks for Falkirk.
No, it has not. My heart goes out to him. How many times have Celtic beaten Bayern Munich in the Champions League, you said, Roger?
I said none.
It is none. Yeah. Three wins and a draw. The most recent, that 2-1 defeat at Celtic Park. And Ross McCormack left Motherwell to join Cardiff. That's the only one you got wrong. You were heading for the 10.
You know, I had Leeds, Villa and Fulham in my head. I had no...
No, Villa was last.
I had no recollection of Cardiff. But obviously, scored a lot of goals. Number 44.
He did indeed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 for Roger. Minus his 2 is a 5. But you only got 2 on the board, Aidan. Hard lines.
It's all good, all good.
It is all good, Aidan, from Co-Winning. Thanks very much. Have a good night.
Yep,
Aidan, hold on. Do you like beetroot crisps?
Nope.
Just say yes. Say yes.
Yes.
Well, you're going to like them because there's a full box about to land on Aidan's front doorstep.
Yeah. Pass them out to friends and neighbours, Aidan.
Right, Aidan, I'm telling you, I'm telling everybody's going to change their mind. These are not good.
You.
I know they are.
These
telling
are good.
You. Sometimes.
Man, it's sample these bad
boys. I would crack open a bag right now.
No, then.
Can't really crunch on radio, can you? Right, anyway, thank you to Aidan. Let's.
If Mrs. Hannah is listening, I hope she nips out and gets some dips. Because I've got a bag of these bad boys to take off the road.
You know how to treat a woman, don't you? Monday night, bag of beetroot crisps and some dip in the Hannah household.
Well, it'll keep her entertained when she's watching Chelsea West Ham.
Just a usual Monday night. It's usually about this time, Andy Halliday. I can see him. I look over and he's scrolling through delivery apps on his phone to see what he's ordering for his dinner.
I have fish tacos tonight.
That is an outstanding choice.
Yeah, already made. Not already made. In the process of getting made.
Right,
yes.
Nice. Mrs. Halliday has produced on this Monday night. Okay, I like it.
Big fan, I mean, fish tackles.
Oh, you can't go wrong. 01419511025. What have you made of your team's deadline day? Is it enough? What do you want between now and 11 o'clock? How does it feel in the context of the window as a whole? What about yesterday's action? I mean, it's Monday night, 10 past 7. We've not even argued about refereeing decisions. It shows you we've got other things on our mind. But whatever it is, do share your thoughts right now, please. Let's cross back live to the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Transfer Centre, which is a hub of activity. Andrew McLean is there. What's the latest, Andrew? Are we missing anything?
Well, I've got news of a signing and a new teammate for Andy Halliday. I think people had been talking about Motherwell, the fact that they'll probably need two changing rooms for the number of players that they've got in the squad. They might need just a separate changing room just for goalkeepers. They've not had much luck, have they, with goalkeepers this season. Aston Oxborough started the season in goal. He broke his thumb. Archie Mayer came in this window. He also broke his thumb as well. Ellery Balcombe was signed on loan. He spent the first half of the season at St Mirren, played against Celtic at the weekend, but because of those injuries, Motherwell have had to go out and sign another goalkeeper, their third goalkeeper signing of this January window. 24-year-old Callum Ward has signed on a deal until the end of the season. He was without a club. He actually came through Bournemouth's academy, but has been playing his football in Finland with AC Oulu up until this month. So free agent comes in. He's played over 150 games in his career to date. So he is a new signing for Motherwell, new teammate for Andy Halliday.
It is absolutely ridiculous, with no disrespect to Callum Ward, that he's had to arrive, Andy Halliday. Andrew McLean outlines it quite well there. But Aston Oxborough, number one all season, he gets injured at the same time as the guy who was the number two goes back on loan, back from his loan to West Ham. So you have to bring in Archie Mayer on the day of the trip to Easter Road, and now he's out as well, even though he's just joined on loan, and now you've had to sign another goalkeeper. What are you doing to each other in training?
Yeah, it's just a series of unfortunate events, unfortunately. We've spoke at length throughout the season how well Aston Oxford has done, and we knew at that point in time that that Christian, as a backup goalie, was a very, very capable number two. Obviously, unfortunately for us, he got recalled by West Ham. At really unfortunate timing, because Aston had just injured his thumb against Kilmarnock. We then obviously signed the replacement in Archie Mayer, and unfortunately does the exact same injury. So been a real hectic time. Obviously since then we've brought Ellery into the club, and then obviously Callum joining tonight.
Outrageous, honestly, Roger Hannah, that injury list.
Are they all breaking thumbs and fingers saving your shots in training?
Certainly not my shots.
You need to get them on target first for that to happen.
That's true.
I shouldn't talk about yesterday's man of the match like that anyway.
All joking apart, how do you fit, you know, you guys change at Fir Park before going to Dale Park for training. How do you fit them all in the changing rooms? How do you transport everybody up and down?
We're fitting them in okay at the moment, depending on how many more signings I'll made from now to 11 o'clock. But yeah, it's obviously a busy changing room at the moment. But you know, Gordon quite rightly pointed out that a lot of that's down to the fact the amount that we've got in the treatment table. So a lot of these signings have been necessary. And then it's the old-fashioned car schools that are diving up and down to DL every day, so the car park's busy.
Oh, it is. Honestly, what a place. Right, let's bring in Paul, who's on the line. Paul, how are you?
I'm grand, Gordon, I'm grand. Good evening, guys.
Hi, Paul.
First time I've been on the show with Andy, and serious note, I'd like to compliment him on his professionalism last week in coming on the show after the Stuart Kettlewell situation. I've got to handle himself very well, and as a Celtic fan, I think he's more than fair in his analysis.
Yeah, do you know what? It's a good point you made, because I noticed that the Motherwell fans were understandably annoyed at pretty much everything last week, but you didn't seem to annoy them that much. You must have struck close to the right chord. What about the transfer window, Paul, from a Celtic perspective then? How do you feel about it?
Well, I've also got a theory about why Motherwell's injuries are piling up.
Oh dear.
The guy's never recovered for the 4-day session in Copenhagen.
That is a good point, by the way.
No.
They started before that. Okay, cut you some slack.
Inside info. I think I was pilloried a while ago, as I sometimes am, for mentioning Jamie Vardy as an option for Celtic. But Iheanacho aside, I thought Brendan Rodgers might have been able to pull a Premiership rabbit out of the hat. Even Edward back for 6 months to cover for Kyogo. I think it's really disappointing if we don't get another striker in.
What's the kind of main grievance, Paul? Is it just the obvious, like, you need a striker because Kyogo left? Is it because Kyogo was so good, so you think you're weaker? Is it the fact that, you know, you knew Kyogo in advance was leaving? What's the bit that sort of frustrates you the most?
I think the previous caller, I think you could see by Kyogo's maybe his demeanour that there was something there. So they've known for a while that he was leaving. So surely you get your contingencies in terms of loan deals. I mean, they've got the carrot of a Bayern Munich Champions League tie for guys that haven't ever played or will never play in the Champions League. So that's why I'm thinking somebody like Jamie Vardy, who wouldn't normally get a whole of the email played with him in Leicester. But you know the type of thing. I mean, you know, there must be guys in the big six squads in England that are on the bench with West Ham or someone that you can bring for 6 months, surely, with Brendan Rodgers' connections.
Funny mention that, quickly. Danny Ings, who has been linked, is on the bench for West Ham tonight.
But so much of it comes down to money. Celtic were keen in Kelechi Iheanacho. He's available on a loan deal from Sevilla, but he's paid barrel loads of money. He almost went to a Greek club on Thursday. They backed off with the money. He almost went to Venezia on Friday. Again, the money wasn't right. There was talk with Celtic on Saturday. The money wasn't right. And finally, he's found a club willing to pay the chunk of his wages that Sevilla want paid, and that's Middlesbrough, and he was signed for Middlesbrough. But these guys, Jamie Vardy, Danny Ings, people like that, are on phenomenal sums of money.
Played 23 times for the season.
Eye-watering sums of money. And also, as you say, he's Leicester's first-choice centre-forward. I actually wondered, one that was doing the rounds, whether Hudson-Edward might be a possibility.
Yeah, Paul said
He's played... He's played for two clubs already this season. He's played for Leicester, he's played for Palace. I don't think he can come.
I think that Iheanacho and the Danny Ings, they're not really typical Celtic signings, are they? You do tend to see that they go to more a Kvitsgaarden, someone that they feel as if they can bring in and improve and then sell on for a profit. I would have been really surprised if two of them moves get sanctioned. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Iheanacho was once bought for £35 million, so... No, clearly an extremely talented striker, but that would have surprised me, that one.
So, Paul, still hoping that a striker comes in at the end of the night, or you sort of conceded it might not?
Well, I just thought there might have been a sort of mini list of experienced players, just to the summer. If they're going to go for Chris Garden in the summer, then maybe. But I know we either scored on Saturday and two assists, and it could well be that they're just... You know, they're just closing ranks and settling for winning the league and maybe the cup and start again in January. Can I make another point, Gordon?
Make it snappy if you can. Yep.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So Kieran Tierney coming in. I heard stories today about the wage structure. I think Callum McGregor's been off for quite a bit of time now, and I just wondered if the old rule about Scott Brown being the highest earner of the club, I don't know whether his nose might be out of joint with Tierney coming back.
Oh, that's quite a theory.
Was
he not pretty good in Europe the other night?
I don't think Callum McGregor's the type whose nose would be out of joint with things like that. My understanding is that Kieran Tierney is coming back on a wage that will not make him Celtic's highest paid player. The deal has been structured in a sort of different way. I don't think Kieran Tierney is the type who would want to put people's noses out of joint, actually. So I think everybody, the deal's done, everything's agreed, and I don't think anyone will be peeved, as my granny used to say, about it.
Okay, thank you to Paul. 01419511025. Still loads of time. What are you making of deadline day so far? What do you hope happens? And what are you thinking about the weekend's action? Andrew McLean has another update from one of our bigger clubs. Have made a signing. We'll speak to him after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here on deadline day. We'd love to say it was super busy and exciting and everything changing. It's not yet. Maybe, just maybe it will be before the end of the night. Looks like Rangers are done though. What do you make of that, Rangers fans? Maybe give us more of an insight into your behaviour here. Are you the type of person that doesn't believe that? Will you still sit up anyway and refresh Twitter and watch Sky Sports News and do whatever you need to do? Or do you accept that that is definitely it and you go to bed? Because I've kind of done it myself. Even if you hear that it's the end, Roger Hannah, you think,
oh no, you've got
just
to wait.
Maybe.
Oh, you've definitely
just
got to wait.
Maybe.
Christopher from Ayrshire's down there. He's in London in the Sky production between 9 and 12 tonight. We need to set up. Something will happen when he's down there.
Talk about Monday night entertainment. Right. I've got a teaser for you. Absolutely no prizes for guessing the theme.
What do you do, is he here?
Yeah. Interesting one, I have to say. Can you name, thank you to Jay and Motherwell for coming up with this one. Prior to this window, can you name the last 8 players to make winter deadline day moves to Celtic or Rangers? Who were the last 8 players to make winter deadline day moves to Celtic or Rangers? I'm just thinking, does this include loans? I think it does.
Well, if Aaron Ramsey's there, it includes loans.
Aaron Ramsey is there and it includes loans. Roger, what's the first one that springs to mind?
Ahmed Diallo?
No,
January, was he?
I thought he was. I thought he was one as well.
But was he?
No, he's definitely January.
Was he deadline day?
I thought it was, but
he's not on the list.
Fabio Silva.
Nope.
Is he not deadline either? This is good. I like this. Adam Eder.
Yes. Okay, let's leave it there because you've got a quarter of the way through. Prior to this window, can you name the last 8 players to make winter deadline day moves to Celtic or Rangers? Adam Eder and Aaron Ramsey. Some fairly memorable ones there. Let's leave it there for now and see what else you can come up with. Andrew McLean has another confirmed move. We've not had many of them. Andrew, what's happening?
Yeah, maybe starting to heat up a bit now. Harry Milne has completed his move from Partick Thistle to Hearts on an 18-month deal. I think the 28-year-old, the way he's sort of performed for Partick Thistle and Cove Rangers over the past few years, he's maybe been due a go in the top flight. He'll come in to provide competition for James Penrice, who's probably been Hearts' best player this season so far, hasn't he? Although I think Elton Kabangu's trying his best to steal that accolade before the season is out. But yeah, Harry Milne is joining Hearts. And while we're in Edinburgh, a bit of news on Ellie Yuan. It looks like he's set to stay at Hibs before tonight's deadline. Stoke and Blackburn had been in talks about bringing him south of the border, but no deal has been struck, so he will stay at Easter Road.
Bit of change for Aberdeen. They've let Angus McDonald go. Sorry to cut Andrew's grass, but just quickly before we move on, they've obviously brought a few in. Angus McDonald's gone out of the club. It's a good story, that, Roger. Harry Milne, he was part-time footballer at Cove, working in a bar not that long ago, and now he's at one of the biggest clubs in the country.
Yeah, I've always liked Harry Milne. I didn't actually realise he was as old as Andrew was saying.
Nah,
there,
neither.
28 years of age. Anytime I've seen him with Thistle, he's been one of the more dangerous players up that left-hand side. He's got a good engine about him. He's got a good size about him as well. He's got a difficult job ahead of him, though, because James Penrice has arguably been the best left-back in the Premiership this season, so he might have a bit of work cut out to get into the team.
Yeah, I think it's another really smart piece of business by Hearts. I think they've done a good job recently of snatching top Scottish talent from other clubs, and I think Harry Milne's another one. I think he's done really well. Back in his Cove days, he had a ridiculous amount of assists in League One. Deservedly got his move to Partick Thistle, and equally done very well there in his natural progressions to get a move to a big club like Hearts.
01419511025. Dean's on the line. How are you, Dean?
I know, bad. How are you, Gordon?
Good, good, good. What's your point tonight?
I just want to... So, everybody keeps going in the last couple of days and saying that Celtic are a weaker team in this window. I don't believe we're a weaker team. I also don't believe we're a stronger team. Yes, we could do a new striker in. I wouldn't complain if we got a new striker in tonight. And a new defender, really, to replace Crusty. Mm-hmm. But that will not happen. It's that way where, yeah, we got ready. Kovo for £10 million, I bet he'll play for £10 million. Great business. And he quite clearly didn't want to be with the club anymore. You see that when he was playing, you could tell he'd already checked out. And Ben Rogers told us that he'd checked out. We got Jota back. Jota's back on the wing. Proved that he can. He's there. He's ready. He can score goals. Yeah, he's not 100% match fit. He'll not play whole 90 minutes at the moment, but he can still play. Come off the bench and make a difference. We get the Lewis Palmer. Didn't really fit Celtic anyway, and we've got Dyson Ryder who can also play up the front, and we'll Adam Eder who's proven that he just needs to get game time to be the player that the £9 million player that we bought.
See, to be fair though, Dean, to anyone who's saying it, because you're right, I think everyone's agreeing with you on parts of that. There are loads of brilliant pieces of business there. You can talk about Kyogo business, You look at Burnaby, for goodness sake, and managed to clear off, clear out some other players. But even if it's just a wee bit, right, even if it's a tiny bit, I'm not saying it's a disaster, I'm not saying it's a terrible window. How could Kyogo leaving and no striker coming in not be perceived as weaker? Like I say, even if it's just a touch, you must be weaker for that, no?
So, generally, I wasn't a big Kyogo fan, in this, especially this season. I think it was said on, it was put in a show, I can't remember exactly who it was that said it, said that he basically was two goals, a goal every second game. And I know I'm not a professional footballer, like, but that, to me, that's not good enough for Celtic.
That's a decent ratio.
Henrik Larsson scored two goals every second. If Henrik Larsson scored a goal every second game, we wouldn't be talking about Henrik Larsson.
Andy scores a goal every second season.
Second top goal scorer at Motherwell, have you know?
I just feel like
after own goals,
even if Dean's like really harsh standards are what we're judging by. Even if Dean's not a fan of Kyogo, which I, if it was up to me, I would wholeheartedly disagree with.
I don't think there was any of them out there.
Even if he's not, he's still the number one striker. That's just undeniable. Mm-hmm. He's still played nearly every game and he still scored a lot of goals this season. I think if you're in the realms of thinking that Kyogo's goal return wasn't good enough over the piece, I don't know if you'll ever be pleased, will you?
Yeah, it's a good point. But listen, the guy who will now lead the line costs £9.5 million.
I know, but he was there already. This is the point I'm making. I don't have any desire to try and paint Celtic's window out to be disaster, because of course it's not. It's nowhere near it, and they're in a really, really strong position. But even if it's 2% weaker, I don't know how you can say they're not weaker if it stays there.
Listen, I agree with you. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. They do still have a plethora of attacking options. You see, I mean, it was a centre forward's goal Maeda scored against your Motherwell team yesterday, Andy. So he's an option there. Johnny Kenny, he was a top scorer, I think, for Shamrock Rovers in the Conference League.
Whatever happened to that? I thought he was likely to go on loan, actually, was what I had been hearing.
I think there were clubs, Premiership and Championship clubs, were looking at him on loan, are looking at him on loan, but they'll only get him on loan if Celtic can get a body in the door between now and 11 o'clock.
I agree with you. I think Celtic are weaker because Kyogo's left and they haven't replaced Kyogo. Now, I think if everyone stays fit from now to the end of the season, I don't think they have a huge issue in terms of a lack of quality in certain areas of the pitch. But let's, talk about playing devil's advocate. Let's say Ademida does get injured, and let's add to that maybe a Nicholas Kuhn gets injured. Then I think Celtic will then be looking at, I wish we strengthened a wee bit more in certain areas of the pitch in the January transfer window. And let's not forget, yes, Jeffrey Sloop is linked as if it's going to get, come over the line, but we're talking just now as they've got one recognised left-back in Greg Taylor. I think everyone kind of envisaged or certainly hoped for a Celtic point of view that Kieran Tierney would get done from now to the deadline. Doesn't look as if that's going to happen. And they're still waiting to see if Jeffrey Sloop can get done over
just
the line.
Having played against him a few times, I want to get your thoughts on Dean's general feeling that Kyogo maybe wasn't that good anyway.
I wish I agreed with you, Dean, to be honest with you. But no, listen, it's not just one goal every two games. It's the amount of big goals he scored, European goals, obviously goals, and in the Old Firm derbies. I thought it was a fantastic signing for Celtic for £5 million. I think it was he was signed. I thought they got an excellent 3.5 years. And again, I can understand the frustrations of Celtic letting him go at this stage of the season. But again, I do touch on the fact that I don't think it's a bad bit of business to double your money in a 30-year-old. But listen, I certainly rated them, that's for sure.
So you're pretty comfortable, Dean. If it ends right now, if the window closes, you think that's no drama. Move on.
Yeah, the treble's in the bag. We could do a better play for Europe, obviously, but it's Bayern Munich, and it's Europe. Celtic in Europe. I'm old enough to remember going to the 2004 final. I'm used to not winning Europe, so that doesn't matter for me. But I generally think with the treble's basically there, we just need to get good in the Scottish Cup.
Roger, where do you sit in the European one? Because it maybe just depends what type of person you are. I think a lot of people would agree with Dean and say, well, you could sign loads of players and it would still see you fall well short of Bayern Munich. But then others would say, well, but still show some ambition and try. I don't know if there's any real truth in either. Is it just a personal interpretation?
Yeah, Celtic could beat Bayern. I think it's unlikely. Dyson Maeda, I think, suspended for the first leg, isn't he? So you're looking at the front three probably of Kuhn, Ida and Jota. They could cause Bayern problems in Celtic Park. I think over the two legs Bayern will be stronger, but I'm not sure there's a player out there within Celtic's financial grasp that would make an enormous difference in this tie against Bayern Munich.
it's going to be a big ask. I had this debate earlier on today, though. Listen, Real Madrid are a bigger club. I think they're the better team. But I think Bayern have got this ruthless nature about them where they try and continually score goals, hence why they got, I think was it 9-2 they beat Zagreb in the league phase, where think Real Madrid are prone to more, get a couple of goals and keep possession for 30 or 3, 4, 5 minutes. But I think Bayern, both are going to be a tough task, but I think Bayern are, it's a scary thought, especially with the talent they've got going forward.
Where are we? It is 25-8 to Roger Hanna, so no confirmed yet, but as an example, Jeffrey Schlupp, you know, expect that to happen before 11 o'clock.
Celtic just needed to get somebody in between now and the summer until Kieran Tierney arrives. There'll be a changing of the guard at left back next season. Tierney will be in, Taylor will be out, and Jeffrey Schlupp will be back at Crystal Palace.
Is that a fair enough one, Andy, like we said? See, because especially when you know that Kieran Tierney's coming back in the summer, if you can get any sort of reliable option in there, rotate it with Greg Taylor if you need to. There's Liam Scales there in case of emergency. I think that bit would be fine, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
For most Celtic fans.
Yeah, I think it was maybe the first caller of the night that was saying it's typical Celtic to, you know, do this, do deals so late and leave it so late in the window. I think the Jeffrey Schlupp one's understandable. I think they gave enough time they possibly could to potentially get Kieran Tierney back in this window. Couldn't manage it, so obviously a last minute sort of signing, and Jeffrey Schlupp on loan, who's got a great CV.
Because you also, Roger, don't know for sure, and Brendan Rodgers will, but the sort of desire from Barcelona's end or for Alex Valle, you know, would Celtic have been happy to keep him if they knew that they weren't getting Kieran Tierney back in this
window? They would have been delighted to keep Alex Valle. I think Alex Valle had impressed in the first half of the season, impressed Brendan Rodgers. He's never hidden that. He got plenty of action, but maybe not enough for Barcelona's liking. I think when the Como interest came, I think Barcelona probably thought it would help and accelerate Vi's development if he was playing in Serie A for Como every week.
Well, one player who was, of course, in a high profile one last week was Jota. Don't need to remind Andy, he came on and scored yesterday. Brendan Rodgers thinks he can be even better in his second spell for Celtic than he was in his first.
Yeah, it's all about the personal ambition. I think that he's had the sample now of two moves that hasn't quite worked out. He also has the feeling of probably a more realistic feeling of the actual size of club and what Celtic can give him. So my feeling is that he'll come back even hungrier and be even better than he was the first time. Why? Because he knows what the other side looks like, and he probably will recognise and realise how lucky he is at a club like this here. It can be, but it's all about the mentality. It's happened so many times. Players go and still create and develop their legacy even more. So that's what I expect him to do.
Yep. Okay, 01419511025. If you want to dive in on the phones, and please do on tonight's teaser. Can you name the last 8 players to make a winter deadline day move to Celtic or Rangers? Adam Ida and Aaron Ramsey is what you've got so far.
Ryan Kent.
No.
Scott Bain.
Of course
not. Nope.
You're too far away.
Mm-hmm.
Mohamed Diamandé.
No.
Was Marvin Kompa one?
He was not.
Oh my, you're toiling. Oliver Abordgaard.
Nope.
What do you think?
Laxalt.
Nope.
I'm just trying to think of January ones.
Nico Raskin was.
Yes, Nicholas Raskin was.
The deadline?
There is a recent-ish Rangers one you've not got, Andy, which surprises me.
Yeah. Todd Cantwell.
Nope.
Who came in the same year as Silva?
So probably it would have been last January.
Yeah.
You mentioned them earlier on.
Seema?
Nope. He was a summer, wasn't he?
I was just trying to think. Mentioned them earlier?
Was it Tom Lawrence?
No. Think of why clubs, especially Rangers, you bring in the January and then you look for the following season, etc. Oscar Cortez. We'll get the remaining 4 when we return.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Take taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Will we get any earth-shattering transfer news in the next 15 minutes? You'll have to stay tuned and find out. I think we gave you a spoiler about an hour ago because Rangers said no, that's it, it's done. But I did want to find out from you, are you still the type that will just ignore that and sit up all night, Rangers fans, checking just in case? How do you operate on transfer deadline day? Celtic fans, there is no suggestion that you are done, but there is nothing done yet. So what are you hoping happens in the next 3 hours and 15 minutes, to be precise? I take it at striker and left back. I think that's been well publicised, but maybe you've got other ideas. We've had a real mix tonight. We've had Celtic fans who are pretty annoyed and think that the squad's weaker. We've had other fans on saying the squad's not weaker and that Kyogo wasn't that good anyway, which was a bit of a surprise, I have to say. But there we go. Do get in touch on the phones or on Twitter before we go. Before this window, can you name the last eight players to make winter deadline day moves to Celtic or Rangers? I think this is very tough because I'm asking you to distinguish between somebody who was maybe the day before or deadline day. You've got Adam Ida, Oscar Cortez, Nicholas Raskin and Aaron Ramsey.
I'm already in the clue territory, to be honest with you.
What if I told you that the four remaining ones, three of them are Rangers? One of them is Celtic. One of the Rangers ones is ludicrously hard because of the lack of involvement or impact.
Zakowski,
yes, Matthias Zakowski. Some people will be listening and saying, "Who, won't they?"
Yeah, like Poznan. Were you there right back? No, I just left.
I don't believe it's an answer. I just wanted to mention his name to annoy Hugh Keevans. Yang Hyun-jun?
No, it's not. Yang is not one of them. Okay, three to get. Rangers. Two Rangers, one Celtic.
Is Celtic... No. Haksabanovic, no?
No. Didn't make much of an impact at Celtic either. But I mean, played, but not loads, and wasn't particularly great in the games that he did play. Okay, we'll leave it there. We'll see what he can do before the end. I don't think there's anything else that you're missing right now. Anything else from the weekend that's not been picked up on? I suppose we should give a nod to some of the big results we said at the top. Hearts and Hibs. Here's one for you.
Hibs 9 unbeaten.
Will they both finish top 6? Will one of, I mean, Hibs are already in the top 6.
Gordon, it's the most mental season I can remember. The craziest I can remember below the top 2. Dundee United are 3rd, having lost 5 of their last 6. Aberdeen are 4th, having gone 14 league games without a win. Motherwell, Andy, 6th, no manager. And yet, Hibs are sweeping up the table. We tipped them for relegation. Hearts are sweeping up the table. We tipped them for relegation. Dundee, who I thought looked good, have just lost 6-0 at home. And St Johnstone have now won 3 games in the trot. So it's very difficult to make any predictions with any sort of firmness. But to answer your question, yes and yes.
They'll both finish top 6.
Yes, they will.
Andy? Well, it's difficult for you because you want to finish top 6. Who'll finish 3rd, Roger, then? Is it either of them? Or is it too far for Hearts now?
I don't think it's too far.
Or are Dundee United in the driving seat still?
Dundee United in the driving seat. They're in a bad run of form. I would think they would be favourites still to finish 3rd, but in this crazy mental bonkers season, you just never know.
You always said you thought, you hoped Motherwell would finish 3rd, but you thought Hearts from the outset, and you kind of, because you know a lot of the players, you kept faith with them when things weren't going well. Do you expect them to just keep climbing?
I do, yeah. I always felt that their season was going to turn at some point. I think since Neil Critchley came in the door, I think they are actually still 3rd in the kind of mini form table since he got the job. I still think Hearts will pick up enough points to finish top 6. Whether they do get the 3rd that I predicted at the start of the season remains to be seen, but Hibs 9 unbeaten as well, doing a really good job. But I just think, you know, any team, I think two or three games can change their narrative of what the outlook's going to be. I think so many people had written St Johnstone off a couple of weeks ago after 3 wins in the trot. You know, it's already, people are tipping them to avoid that bottom spot. So I just think it's so tight between 3rd, 4th to bottom of the league that anything can happen.
I think when Ayr knock Hibs out of the cup on Friday night, they'll be able to focus on the league and they might push up into one of the European places. Hopefully.
How do you feel about being involved in that then? Because is it safe to say the upturn from St Johnston and the way things are going, it's all feeling a bit less safe than it maybe was from a Motherwell perspective, or am I getting carried away?
To be honest, myself as a player, I never at any point think that you're finishing third guaranteed, top six guaranteed or safe. You just need to try and take it a game at a time. What I will say is I feel as if every kind of break, weekend break we've had has came at the wrong time for us, because I think we've been in really good form. We've been picking up wins. I think this wee break next weekend comes at a good time for us. I think it gives a couple of bodies that are on the periphery are coming back in the squad a couple of weeks to get fit. Obviously the process of trying to appoint a new manager over the next couple of weeks. But there's no doubt that the next game against Ross County is a big one.
I said I would get a clip made of this so I can just play it every Monday night, but let's do it. We've said every Monday for goodness knows how long. Will Aberdeen ever win a Premiership football match again, Roger Hannah?
It's been quite incredible. I mean, the start they had and then the decline that they have suffered. I don't think Jimmy Tilleen is under any threat. The club have backed him really impressively. He spent an awful lot of the Bojan Miovski transfer money, Gordon. Even today, there's a Dutch defender come in. They are frantically trying to get more players in before the window's closed. But the form, the way they're playing just now, is lamentable. They have got a huge game on Sunday. Dunfermline are coming to Pittodrie. It will be an emotional day. Jimmy Calderwood was manager of both clubs. They will mark his sad recent passing. Aberdeen, if they were to lose to Dunfermline and go out the Scottish Cup on Sunday, they would have big decisions to make.
Is that where, Andy, just generally speaking, you'll have been there, a cup tie against a team just in just the division below, not miles away, is fraught with danger if you're already in a bad run and don't have goodwill in the tank?
Yeah, especially, you know, after Dunfermline turning the corner with a big win at the weekend as well. And listen, I've been a part of cup shocks, whether it's been in a positive fashion or a negative fashion. I think Dunfermline are seeing this as a free hit going to Pittodrie, although Aberdeen are obviously in extremely poor form. But again, you're talking about being aggressive in the transfer window. I think Aberdeen have been the kind of forefront of that. They've brought in players, they've spent a chunk of money. So I think, you know, Jimmy Tilleen will certainly be hoping that that's going to be the difference from now to the end of the season.
Because if you look at Hearts then, we're talking about teams that are climbing, Roger, they've done serious business and it's working. Elton Cabangu, that's what you want. You go and bring a player in, he scores a couple against Brechin, he scores one against Kilmarnock, scores another couple against Dundee, yeah, looks like his profile totally adds to what Hearts are doing.
And part of the problem Aberdeen have got is that the likes of Elton Cabangu does come in and score. The likes of Luke Armstrong does come in and score for Motherwell. Aberdeen are spending big money on the likes of Topi Keskinen. They're paying big wages for Yippe Ockels. The guys who have come in at the back, Tobers and Jensen, have made no impact whatsoever. None of the signings, and a lot of them have cost a lot of money, not one of the signings has shown up positively this season. Not one. And that is the thing that will cause problems for Jimmy Tilleen.
Yeah, it's going to be a real interesting run-in, but I suppose the cup comes and gets involved this weekend. Some interesting ties to look forward to. I think that is the most interesting one that Roger mentions, that Hibs and Ayr game. So it looks like that's pretty much us. Roger Hannah, give us a prediction then. What are we getting? Are we getting something between now and 11 o'clock?
I think Celtic will conclude Geoffrey Schloop. I am 75% sure there won't be another striker coming in.
Well,
they're leaving it very, very late. Rangers are done. Aberdeen will try and get more in. St Johnson will try and get more in. St Mirren still trying to get a striker in. And with a squad ravaged, only 34 of them left, don't exclude Motherwell from getting number 35.
Do you know all your teammates' names?
Just about.
Just about. Okay, we'll see how he goes. We'll test his memory on this before we go. Before this window, name the last eight players to make a winter deadline day move to Celtic or Rangers. You've got Adam Ida, Oscar Cortez, Nicholas Raskin, Aaron Ramsey, Matthias Zakowski. Yeah. Three to get.
Janino Bakuna?
No.
Oh, I thought that was a sell.
Daniel Alzani?
No.
I thought it was a sell.
Celtic one's a fullback.
So you've said like so, haven't you? John Joe Kenny?
John Joe Kenny, yes. Yep. The Rangers one also played for Aberdeen and Dundee.
Aberdeen and Scott Wright?
Scott Wright.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the other Rangers one, I don't mean to be cruel to these guys, but it just feels like there's been a few, obviously, for Rangers in recent seasons that they probably don't remember for a reason. defender, English.
Jack Simpson.
Oh wow.
There we go. Thank you to Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday. Make sure you keep following at Clyde SSB on social media. Take a look at what's happening throughout the rest of the night. The guys will keep you up to speed on any deals you need to hear about. And then whatever happens, we'll look back on it all tomorrow. Was it a good window? Was it a bad window? We'll do the lot with Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL from 6. So make sure you join us then. More importantly, have a good night. Thank you for listening, calling, tweeting. We will do it all again tomorrow.